Okay, now we have... No, it's...
You're...
So my
we're
question...
We're all good?
Yeah.
Okay.
So my question that I have for you, slightly rhetorical, is... So, have you ever cut your neck shaving?
So, I use an electric razor.
Okay.
But all the times I have used a non-electric razor, yes.
Okay, and then perhaps I should specify, not have you nicked your neck.
Oh.
Have you cut your throat shaving?
No, that is... No, no, not. I have nicked myself. I have not, like, sliced myself open accidentally.
So, I would just like to say, I was once in your camp as well. I've only nicked myself. And then recently, I had an interesting experience where I fumbled with my razor. And then it was just this period of, like, my neck felt funny. And I didn't understand. There's this denial process because this doesn't happen. This shouldn't happen. And it just tingled a lot. And I was just like, did I tickle? Like, do I have an, like, is there like an allergic reaction to the shaving cream? What happened? Why is it just a line across my neck of tingling? And then there's a moment where the cut becomes visible and it's just like the movies. I just see a line of red across my neck. And then it's this realization of, oh shit, as like blood comes out of my neck. Jesus. And I'm just like, oh shit, oh shit. Oh shit, and you put pressure then and you stop it and it had to bandage it up because I fucking somehow cut my entire neck shaving.
Oh my God, you nearly killed yourself.
That's, so my brain is in that moment of, how did this happen? This has never happened before. This should not happen. And I checked my razor. I didn't, so like I have a normal razor. What I didn't realize, the back of it has one of those like fancy mustache trimmers. So there's like a blade in the back that I never knew about.
So you accidentally...
I fumbled and it just like...
Oh, went.
And so geez. That's why I was like, why is my neck tingling? And then this line of red, once it's sealed and I bandaged up my neck and everything, then I had to go to work. And it's really weird to go into work with bandages across your neck. And I just have to hide it and like put up a tie and everything. The next thing that pops up into my head, Papa Roach.
Cut my life into pieces.
But it's, don't give up if I cut my arm off bleeding.
Yeah, cut
but,
my...
Yeah, but that got stuck in my head then. Of like, cut my neck off bleeding. So, yeah, new life experience.
So, like, it's funny that you... So, the situation I'm going to explain here is not nearly as life-threatening as you slitting your own throat, which is a little weird.
Completely accidentally, not intentionally.
Yeah. Okay, you need to watch yourself around sharp objects, I'm thinking. But, like, that same kind of, like, why is my neck tingling thing? So, a couple years ago, I was taking a shower in the morning. I got out and hit my toe on the side of the tub, and I was like, ow. That hurt. What you do when you stub your toe.
Yeah.
And then I dried myself off, got myself ready, went to work. And throughout the entire day, I was like, ow, my toe is still hurting, but this will go away.
You didn't check it once you hurt it?
No, no. I was just like, I was just like, I stubbed my toe. I was like, oh, ow. Okay, move on. Put socks on, like just not checking. And throughout the day, ow, it gets worse, ow. I come home, I'm like, okay, I should take a look at this. After a full, like, 8.5 hour work day, I come home, I take my sock off, my entire toe is black and blue. I've broken it, like...
What's your thought in your head when you see, like, a body part of yours that should be normal, that is grossly abnormal?
I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Did I do?
Yeah, like, how do I solve this problem? Turns out for a broken toe, you do nothing. That's just like, you just live with that, and it was fine. Again, not life threatening, it's just a toe. But it was just kind of that immediate reaction of, huh, well, that is not what I expected this to look like.
I wish I had because my brain goes into panic mode, because it was like, huh, and afterwards, it did look like the movies. It was pretty fucking cool, like, now that I'm alive to tell the tale. But in that moment, there was a... This is going to look really bad if I'm just, like, found on the ground, like, my neck slit.
Harvey's tombstone.
Not the way I thought ever that I'd end up going.
Yeah, not the way I thought it would go.
And it would, like, please, in the future, if I'm found down with my neck slit, I did not intentionally do that. That would be actually the perfect crime now to take me out. Oh, God, why am I telling people this? Anyway. We should start the show and not like plot my murder.
It's a gamer. We're here. It's a gamer. That's it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me a Gamer. I'm your host, T-Man, and I'm here with...
Harvey Z, still in the place to be.
So we've got an interesting show. So I was on vacation, so this is our first episode back from when I was on vacation. There was the week I was off is different from like the weeks we came out.
Like, yeah, it was a weird skewing. Yeah. Like, a new episode did come out.
Yeah, so like this is not like after the break, but it is after the break. Like it's weird. Anyway, so we've got a few things to go over. Stuff has happened. I'm sure stuff happened while I was on vacation, but I didn't really check Twitter that much and like wasn't keeping up with gaming news and didn't like go back to be like, well, this is something really important I should talk about. So if I missed anything, I'm sorry. I'm sure it'll come around again at some point.
So this is all fresh news then?
I mean, I guess there is some fresh news, but I really just want to like kind of talk about games and stuff.
Okay.
Like I want to actually...
That's what I think some, the people came to see.
Yeah, like we podcast. Want to do some gaming, you know, because last episode was kind of a general musing of everything, and let's bring out the games. But first, and we'll lead into the first subject, Harvey Z snaps, because we've got to do that.
Okay.
And then we're going to talk about Endgame, so...
Is it safe enough to talk about?
It's going
to
be over 3 weeks since it came out when this comes out.
So this is already warning you that spoilers are down the road.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have a definite like cutoff and say like, okay, this is when we're going to start talking about things. And I will put in the description so you can look right now. Go down there and look what the timestamp is to avoid the spoilers and everything. But we're not going to get to that yet.
Okay.
We're going to do a Harvey Z snaps. And then we've got an email that mentioned before.
Okay.
Anyway, so previous snaps have kind of been everything in the same category. Like things that are, you know, like too musical or like too mundane things. So this one, I wanted to give you two things that I know you enjoy and see where your priorities lie because they're not exactly in the same
This feels
realm.
Like a psychological battery now. Slowly, week by week, we will break down Harvey Z. Okay, sure, I'm game.
Okay, so on the one hand, we've got Dungeons & Dragons.
A great game, yes.
Okay. On the other hand, we've got Bubble Tea.
You monster.
okay, so
like
this one's
bubble
not going
to...
Yeah, Bubble Tea.
How did you know that I like Bubble Tea?
You talk about it all the time.
Damn it. My weakness. Okay, so Dungeons & Dragons, I really like D&D. I don't get to play it as much as I would, although I will say I was recently invited to play D&D.
Oh, really?
I accepted, but like the months, it's like several months away. Because it's like, that's what D&D is. They're trying to herd cats, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But I've watched a significant portion of my time with like D&D podcasts, D&D like live action plays. Like, the reason I like podcasting, or the idea of it, is from D&D podcasts. All of that would go away.
Yep, all the D&D podcasts are gone.
And not just for me, but for everybody.
Yes.
Again, this great global good. Okay, while the other thing, I just happen to... I mean, I really like bubble tea. Like, in life, I just want my fucking bubble tea. At least, like, twice a week I get bubble tea. And I don't just, I haven't even revealed like my secret bubble tea recipes.
No, you don't need to do that.
No, you don't get that now.
Yeah. But, because I put you in this position?
Yes. Like
you're angry with me?
Because I'm like, the obvious answer here for the greater good should be like, oh, get rid of bubble tea and like give D&D to the world and let everybody enjoy like all the things that have come from like the last 20, 30 years. Because D&D also led to like, a whole bunch of creative writing, creative stories, video games. I would take all of that away.
You'd lose Vin Diesel's, The Last
Witcher
or something like that? The Witch Hunter, Last Witch Hunter or something like
something
that?
Something like, but it was actually a good movie. But, anyway, all just so I could enjoy, this is like a truly Thanos decision, actually. Where
I found the one that can break him.
Just like, find me sitting there one day, just like, drinking my bubble tea, Everybody else doesn't have D&D, creative writing, all of that stuff in their lives anymore. But I'm sipping on my bubble tea.
You're going with bubble tea?
No, too many people would, like, come after me, I feel. Would anyone know that it was me that snapped it?
That's an interesting question that I hadn't really thought about.
Because if people know, then fine, I'll save D&D for everybody else.
Okay.
Because I feel like bubble tea lovers aren't going to chase me down.
This is going to be interesting. Because this is a verdict that has implications down the road as well. And I can't go back and forth on it. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say this is just your own personal choice. People are not going to know it was you that suddenly made things disappear.
And they know everything up until, and then once it's gone,
like,
it's
they just... know it's gone.
Okay, so like, they understand the concept.
And they have, like you, they have the memories of it and everything. They just, it's gone.
And it's future entertainment. It's hours of entertainment. But bubble tea is tasty. But it's a lot of, like, I feel like just quantity-wise, I have to save D&D. Damn it, though. Like, that pisses me off. Like, I enjoy bubble tea. It has replaced, like, the slushy for me as, like, my personal choice.
Oh, that's amazing.
Slushies I felt were too unhealthy. I know bubble tea is really bad for you, too. But, like...
Mentally, it feels better.
I'm like, there's tea in it. It's healthy. And there's little, like, of course, bubble tea. The little boba balls are fantastic. Ooh, boba slushies. I have to work on that one.
We'll come up with a new recipe, huh?
Money making ideas for the future.
Yeah. Okay. So
bubble
tea has been axed. All right. I'll try to make the next one a little easier for you.
No, that was good. I didn't expect you to suddenly like take away the things I loved because I didn't know that you knew that I loved bubble tea. But yes, I guess I do tweet about that a lot.
You don't just tweet about it. You've told me multiple times about the place that you go near where you live.
Yes.
That you get it regularly and you have like a regular order.
And how like the waitstaff is I've convinced many other people. I've converted people to my Harvey Z flavors. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that was our snaps. So now for those at home keeping track, Toe Jam and Earl, mustard...
I kept plumbing, I think.
Yeah. The internet, Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh, God. I just feel so guilty hearing the ones that I've removed.
And bubble tea. These are the things that are gone.
I will say, all of those things, like, I would be shocked, like, to hear, like, wait, I got rid of these things? But, again... Wait,
then you hear what you kept, and you're like, oh, well, okay.
None were easy, but okay.
All right, so... We did get an email. This came in shortly after the episode where I berated people for not sending us emails. But this is the first time we've been able to discuss it. So it was a comment from Overbob.
Again, he sent
first
the
time
last
listener,
email.
Long time writer. Fan or something. I don't know. Or I guess first time writer, long time listener. What did they say on
email?
The radio? Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah. But he sent the last one. He sent. He did not send through the email. Like, this one came through official channels, like, to the Make Me a Gamer podcast at gmail.com
email. He actually
email.
Humored you and not just sent it to me.
Yeah. He actually did the official thing, which I'm very proud of you. Thank you, Overbob, for being a fan. But he was talking about your... I don't actually have the email up. I should probably draw that up. Give me just a second.
We need to, like, reinforce good behavior. It's like, oh, yeah, somebody sent us something.
It was in response to your get-rich-quick scheme about...
Which one?
plants and the plant game.
The Harvey Z Plant Simulator 3001.
So he says, I looked up plant-growing simulation games after episode 30 because HZ's idea didn't sound far-fetched at all.
None of them are far-fetched. The plant one, I thought, is legit money.
People like the idea of a game where you set things up and then check in intermittently to see how things are going and to do a little caretaking. The only example I found was Viridi, which I sent you yesterday, which seems to be about growing succulents in real time with a very simple caretaking system. The graphics are simple, too. I bet the market for Harvey Ideas idea is there, but my guess is that simulating realistic real-time biological growth is much harder than simulating truck driving. So the kind of budget for these niche games typically get won't be enough for Harvey Z's idea of rare and interesting plants. The real-time part is easy.
Wait, it will be harder to simulate biological plant growth than truck driving?
That is the email.
I would have thought, like, I mean, it's a plant. How hard can it be to, like...
Okay, it's a living thing.
It's a computer. It's a CGI plant. We're not going to give them real plants.
I mean, there have been, like, airplane simulators and car simulators and all that kind of stuff for a long time.
I'm still, like, puzzled by, like... Because in my head, I'm like, I just need a couple plant graphics. I mean, I don't have to have this be, like, 3D effects. I could have, like, different stages, and then they just come... It's, again, they shouldn't be checking this, like, 24-7. They come back a couple days later, I just swap out a new, like, plant picture on it. And boom, it's grown, buddy. It's doing good. Keep watering and stuff.
So what happens if they are watching it when it grows? Like, do you just get, like, a JPEG not found thing as it's just, going in between stages?
It just stays the same plant, the same plant. And then midnight, it turns over, and suddenly a new image just pops up.
See, you'd be a bad game designer if that's your philosophy.
I'm an ideas man. I didn't think about, like, the logistics of simulating biological... Again, I'm cutting corners here. I'm just trying to make money.
All right. Well, but you did check out Viridia. You'd heard of it before?
So a friend of mine had mentioned it a while back, but I was like, this sounds weird. And they were like, no, it's really zen. You should try it out. And I just was like, no... And then I looked at it now because I was like, oh no, my idea has been taken. They only focused on succulents, though. And mine, as we remembered, exotic Amazonian plants that people could not just grow outside. Again, like, I want, like, redwoods in this. I just need a couple pixels of redwoods and I'm going to be fine.
You don't think anyone will check it after 50 years?
They can check it, but how many pixels of redwoods do I need in 50 years? Like, how big can they grow in that much time?
I mean, I'm sure they grow to a decent size. Like, they just live long. They don't... They stay tiny for 50 years.
I didn't do any plant research. All I know is I'm not putting bamboo on it, and that's it. And then I'm good.
Harvey Z, like, you are definitely the ideas man. And then I am the shoot down your ideas man.
Again, someone's going to... Next 10, maybe... 10 years, I call it now. We're going to have this game out there. At least give me a little, like... line in the credits of a thank you, Harvey Z.
I'm sure they will, if they ever listen to our podcast.
Well, who else would think of plant growing ideas other than apparently this one company and maybe others?
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Over Bob.
Yeah, thanks, Over Bob, for giving us an email and responding to the call. I'm
shooting down my ideas this time. Et tu, Bob. Et tu.
Okay, so you've seen Endgame.
Oh, time for spoilers.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm just going to go right into it because I haven't worked on my transitions yet. I'm sure I can come up with some sort of like, and now we're going to go into this segment where we talk about shit.
Endgame spoilers.
But yes, Endgame spoilers. If you don't want to listen, stop it. Hit pause. Go down to the description. Look at the timestamp. Fast forward it and we'll be done talking about it. All right, Endgame.
I did see it. I saw it, I think, a few days after you.
Yeah, I saw it Friday, which is technically opening night, but with all the Thursday showings now, it's like sort of opening night.
It's, well, no, I would have thought Thursday is the opening night then.
I mean, Friday is supposed to be the opening, is considering the opening day, because they lump all Thursday sales into like the Friday sales in terms of tickets and everything.
That's for, like, ticket sales stuff. But, like, in... Okay, fine. Like, yes, for, like, marketing and researchy stuff. But, like, actually, people saw it on Thursday.
I mean, the date advertised... We're getting
this
into...
This is semantics.
Yeah, this is definitely semantics. And I'm going to argue this point, damn it.
Really? Walk away.
No. The advertised date for Endgame is April 26th, which is a Friday. And then it's the stupid midnight showings... have creeped into like 5 p.m. on Thursday.
Yeah, because it wasn't just like midnight showings, I get, and you could argue, yeah, that's in Friday. But these were showings where people on like Thursday evening were seeing this movie, and you had to avoid spoilers then.
But
starting
none
Thursday.
Of the advertisements say April 25th. They say April 26th. Friday is when Avengers Endgame opens in theaters.
Then why are we having like Thursday movie times?
Because people are greedy and they've moved up the midnight showings to like 5 p.m. because they know not everyone will come out at midnight to see it.
Then just advertise it for Thursday.
And then they'll start creeping into Wednesday. It's like how Black Friday starts at 2 p.m. on Thursday on Thanksgiving. It's still Black Friday, but you're shopping on fucking Thursday.
All right. I will. I don't want to concede here, but I acknowledge your point.
Okay. All right. After that argument, we'll actually talk about Endgame.
Like actual spoilers.
Yeah. Actual spoilers now. So what did you think?
This movie. So two thoughts on this movie. One, it gave me everything I wanted to see and replicated the experience that I had as a kid reading comic books, where like I would go to like a comic book store or usually Barnes and Noble's, pull up, like I had to pull out different editions of comics to follow a storyline. And then they would give you the annual issue, which is the big thick one that has the conclusion. But like that feeling of having to like read all the different stories, see all the different movies to get to this ultimate payoff where if you read everything, the final thing had references everywhere. This was that moment of like pure fan service satisfaction for me. And I don't think any other movie I've ever seen, comic book or otherwise, came close to that sort of an experience. My other take... this is probably a really shitty movie, which I say knowing that it is one of my favorite movies.
I saw a YouTube, I haven't actually watched it, but some people took a guy to see Endgame and he hadn't seen a single anything. MCU That's where movie. It's,
so if you judge it on like that, of like what a movie should be, a guy walking in blind to this movie, having seen nothing else. This movie's plot is really hard to follow, probably, because I'm curious then, but I would think it's because the plot is based on a thing that happened in this and in this and in this.
I mean, okay, so I want to actually talk about the content of the movie, so I'm not going to get too much into this, but like all the, like, is Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, do you judge that for the same thing? Like, Twilight, whatever it was, the last movie, part two.
So if it's a part two, I'll judge it with part one and two. So this one then, if I have a 5-hour movie of Infinity Wars 1 and 2.
Like, is that different? Even though it still has all the MCU buildup.
See, that's the thing. I wouldn't include the buildups then. If you
okay, do, yeah. Fair. But yeah. Like...
oh, I think it's... I mean, then the plot holes, like you get the plot, but would you care? But I mean, these characters are so iconic. That's why I was like, I know this is a take that somebody could say this is a shitty movie. And in my head, I was already like, well, fuck that guy. I love this thing because it's rewarding for me who has seen every movie.
And I feel like, honestly, the fact is you can't judge this in that kind of like bubble. Like the whole point of this movie and the previous 10 years of movies was that it was building up to this. Like they designed it like this. With the idea that, you know, people are going to miss out if they haven't seen all the movies. Like, it's like, it's funny, I'm going to give this example because it's actually happening to me. But it's like if someone comes in and watches season 8 of Game of Thrones and is like complaining that this is shitty TV because nothing is set up. Because it's like, you didn't watch the previous 7 seasons. You can't complain that it's a shitty TV show. Except I'm actually doing that because my girlfriend watches it, and
you don't.
I had not watched a single episode of Game of Thrones until season 8.
Why are you watching season 8?
Because she wants somebody to watch it with.
I mean, this is you're sacrificing, like, you could potentially enjoy this thing, but you're spoiling this is dedication, sir. Like, I'm impressed.
I mean, I already know most of what happens. Like, I know all the big plot points because no one gives a shit about spoiling Game of Thrones on the internet.
I've realized that. That's awful. Like, Marvel was really nice, actually. It was nice and easy to avoid the spoilers for this movie for a while.
Yeah.
Like, at least a week or two. Game of Thrones, like, every day.
As soon
day,
as the episode boom, comes out, you like, see, it's...
to the point of where, like, I'm actually getting an HBO subscription for 1 month because I'm like... fuck it. I can't actually avoid the spoilers in this thing.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
But so like jumping back to Endgame then, did you see the twist coming? The first twist, I suppose. The Thanos one.
Yeah. So it's hard for me to say because I was reading theories about what was going to happen in the movie. And it, like, I wasn't spoiled, so I didn't know what happened. But a couple people are really anal about analyzing trailers, and they're kind of like, it looks like there's going to be a time skip. It looks like there's going to be so I didn't know for certain that like the beginning 20 minutes were going to end with Thor chopping off Thanos' head, and then the time skip. But like, I had an idea that I thought the movie was just going to start out after the time skip, you know, like it was just going to start like 5 years later or whatever. But so no, I didn't technically, I didn't think they would.
You were aware that a time skip could occur.
Yes.
You were aware, were you expecting a time skip?
Sort of.
You had multiple theories or such, or maybe one of this was one of them.
Yeah, there was one in particular, like people were like analyzing Black Widow's hair length and things like that in the trailer, and like different colors, and like, well, she has blonde hair in this one and red hair in this one, which means something must happen or whatever.
Because they did say like, because so after I watch a movie, I'll go and look at like all the spoilers, Easter egg stuff. And they were saying, oh, the trailers that they were showing all came within the first 15 minutes of footage or so of the film.
They did say that, and in general, they stuck to that. But there were definitely some shots from towards the end, because it was like, it was surprising to me how little action there was in this movie. Like the big battle at the end is like the climax, but there isn't compared otherwise, to like Infinity War, where it was just kind of like spectacle for 2 hours. This was a lot more like down to earth, character focused. Like, like you got Cap versus Cap.
That was a fight, but outside of that, I'm trying to think of what are the other
fights. There was like Black Widow versus Hawkeye, sort of. Okay. Like it wasn't really a fight. Yeah. And I really liked that scene, by the way.
Okay, the Ronin fight?
No, not the Ronin fight. The one at the Soul Stone.
Oh, now I'm just getting hit with like sadness. Yeah. I forgot about that one. Yep.
Yeah. And then there was the Ronin sort of.
That's what I thought this film did really well for me was, the only spoiler thing that I'd heard about was the Ant-Man up the butt theory. And I don't know why that came about.
I don't know why people... That was just a random meme that people started talking about.
So, like, that's all I was expecting of, like, for some reason, people seem to think about this. And I've even, like, tried to avoid most trailers, except for, like, the first trailer, which I realized as well had, like, what Marvel does, which is they change some scenes around. Like, there's a scene where, like, somebody walks in and it's like, who's the raccoon? And it was Hawkeye saying that. But in the movie, it was actually, like, Tony Stark saying that to, like, Rocket Raccoon in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Once that happened, which is, again, early in the movie, I was like, yes, I'm spoiler-free because I can't trust anything in the trailers. And I didn't seek anything else out.
Yeah, I really respect them for doing that. And they did that with Infinity War, too.
Mm-hmm.
There was, like, an entire scene of, like, Hulk and them all running together in the trailer, and like Hulk just wasn't in Infinity War at all, which was great. So I love the movie. It hit, like you said, it hit everything I wanted to see. They didn't, like, there wasn't anything that I felt was missing. They hit all the right spots.
Like, that scene that you reminded me of, because that was also really cool, like, where, so I didn't expect the time travel part. Thanos, they kill, and then, like, audible gasps in the... Because it goes then immediately to 5 years later. Like, the theater, because it was a Sunday showing, had enough people packed and everything, gasped in the theater, and I was like, yes, what's gonna happen now? Because shit got real 5 years later, and, like, I love the characters themselves living in this world of, like, despair and so forth. And then they do the time travel, and then I realized, wait, are we really gonna do a time travel heist movie?
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting a time travel. Awesome. And then you go back and you replay these scenes and you get the characters. And like at that moment, that's why I was like a kid, because I was like, I'm on board for whatever's happening, because I didn't know where we're going to go with this. I hadn't thought about like what would the timeline be? Why would you? So at that point, I was just like, I'm buying into the time travel. Let me just see where you're going with it. And like, I'll just jump on the ride.
I really like how they did time travel too in the movie. Like it was a unique and different way. And like after the movie, I got on the internet and all the nerds are arguing about the time travel and how that is the only thing they were talking about. Like, this doesn't make sense, and nitpicking the stupid time travel. And like, I thought it was great.
They set up their premise. They even made fun of other time travel movies, pointing out that yes, time travel is hotly contested. But, like, they set up their rules and where it works, and you can have divergent galaxies. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm in. Like, get to the time travel. You sold me on this.
Yeah.
And then, so that scene that you mentioned was so good. Widow and, like, Hawkeye, because it hits me. Oh, they went to get the stone. And then the audience knows things that the characters don't.
Right.
And that's what I love about stories, where it was like, oh, shit. And then they don't get to this part, but I know what's going to happen.
Right. As soon as Black Widow and Hawkeye took off to go to the Soul Stone, I was like, oh, shit. Oh, God.
It's going to get real. And then I was like, which one? And that's why, like, all the way, oh, just knowing what's going to happen, but still not knowing, like, which one. But that dread was such a good, like, that's what I want for movies to make me feel like.
It was
like,
great.
Oh.
I really loved also how during the time travel sequences, like, they kind of made fun of, like, big dramatic moments from the previous movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the first one wasn't actually a dramatic moment, but it's, like, the opening credits to Guardians of the Galaxy when, like, the 80s music is playing and you see Quill dancing. And then, like, you see that, and then it cuts to Nebula and War Machine watching him and him singing and just how goofy it looks.
Yeah.
And, like, I love that kind of, like, outside thing where, like, you see the Avengers final shot where they're, like, they're all standing over Loki. And then, like, you see it from the outside perspective and Tony's like, okay, we can't stand around posing all day. Let's get the move on. It was that kind of just seeing the things from the outside and changing it up a little bit. I really, like, I was absolutely dying at the I can do this all day line.
For,
like, everything about Cap and how he would, like, it was, like, Cap is such a great character. And, like, that innocence of, like, the old Cap versus the new Cap. And that old Cap versus, I guess, young versus old is a better way to say that.
Younger, old versus old, old.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with oldest, old.
Yeah.
But, like, so that was the line of the movie for my theater, at least, was the Hail Hydra scene.
Oh, yeah. That was amazing. I, like, love that.
It was the entire theater whooping, hollering. It was great. That, and it was, oh, in that moment, I loved it as well. Like, it was, it took, because I was expecting, oh, they're going to do the fight sequence here. Because would he do, he couldn't just, and then it was a, oh, he, oh, shit. Yes.
You did it. Yeah.
Oh, again, that payoff. How did you feel about the ending?
I liked it, actually. I felt like it was appropriate for all the characters.
Okay.
Like, what do you want to talk about, Iron Man or Cap?
So I was thinking when I first asked the question, Cap was the one that's more controversial, I think, because people, like, at least were like, oh, in the theaters, like, oh, or so. Like, that's
Wait,
the one
what
where
do you mean?
Like, people were like, one, I've heard, like, how did this happen? Like, I had to explain to my, like, my compatriot, like, why is he older and stuff? And, like, then it was like, well, how did he get to this bench? And it was like, well, he knows where this location was. He was here, but he went back in time. And he just has to wait the exact day and time and stuff. He knows where, like, I had to explain Bill and Ted. Apparently my friend had never seen Bill and Ted. And I was like, this is Bill and Ted physics here. And it's like, if he just knows that, like, okay, on October 3rd at this time, they're going to be outside and we just did the time travel thing, I just have to wait, like, nearby. And it was like that sort of, like, logistical thing. Then others were like, well, why did he get old and stuff? And it was just,
I mean, it's pretty obvious what happened.
Yeah.
And, like, so, again, the nerds on the internet, one of the big arguments was, in reference to Cap's time travel, was, did he exist in the same timeline, or did he start a new timeline by going back to see Peggy and then jump back to the old timeline when he was older and had lived out his life?
The directors answered that question.
Did they?
They did, because I had an assumption, which was, oh, he just lived in the timeline and avoided everything. That's not true. Apparently they're saying he created a new timeline because he did this, but then he jumped to this specific one to drop off the equipment and everything.
Gotcha.
I don't know if he goes back to his timeline or what, but they said, yes, it was a jump from a timeline.
Okay.
And I was like,
and so
oh.
I think that makes sense in context of the world, because he had the ability to jump back at any time, and he just chose to live out his life instead. And you know what? I think Cap deserved it.
Cap is one of those characters that rarely, and like rewatching the movies with a friend, like, he doesn't get his happy ending. I mean, yeah, he's okay, or yeah, but he's always a man out of time who is pining for the one girl back in the day. So it was really nice to see him, like, get to do something selfish.
Yeah, I like that his, like, last moment, or like his big moment, is that he's realizing that he doesn't have to give to everyone. He can take something for himself, this, because there's all these other people who can save the world and everything. But I also like it because it still gives them the option of bringing Chris Evans back if he feels like being Cap again.
Oh, yeah. I guess you could do a middle age. Like, you could bring back young Cap from a different dimension. Anytime.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So All right, and Iron Man, like,
I mean,
that everyone kind of knew going into this. Everyone was expecting, like, okay, Robert Downey Jr., he's the face, he makes all the money, he's millions of dollars, and also Iron Man's been, like, the big guy. If there's going to be a sacrifice, it's going to be Iron Man.
And I thought it was done well.
Knowing, I thought so, too.
Even knowing that, oh, he is, but it, in that moment, I was like, it's still, like, it didn't feel like, a, oh, we're writing him off. Kind of. It was
right,
like,
it was a good...
It fit the scene and everything, and then him snapping the hands and everything. Because also in my head, I'm like, I think Cap or another hero may have forgiven Thanos or Tony Stark.
Nah, Tony is the entire goal, his entire time. You know, he was protecting the Earth from what was coming after that first Avengers.
So, because I was like, will he spare just Thanos and they'll lock him? No, he starts turning to dust. And it's like, Iron Man is a cold motherfucker.
Yeah.
And he gets to repeat his classic line from his first movie, I am Iron Man.
Yeah,
and
it was that, just, it was a good ending. I also liked that he didn't get anything after that. Like, he was alive long enough, but... It was the characters saying goodbye to him, as opposed, and then like Pepper saying, it's okay, we're going to be safe now.
That was another, like, where, oh, the emotions of that scene of where it's okay, like, we'll be fine without you. And then as he passes, she chokes up because she's lying to him of like, she needs him as well. And oh, it was such a, like, those were the things that I loved about this movie. It was like, it paid off. All these like emotional beats, like, and it had fun beats as well, like the fight sequences, each of it felt like there was different stages to the fight that was done well.
Okay, so there are two parts that both happened in the last battle that, like, literally, like, I was overcome with emotion. Like, one, my entire body started shaking, like, I was just like, this was it. And then the other one, like, it was so, like, I don't want to say I almost started crying, but I almost started crying. Because it's specific moments that kind of get me. The first was when Cap picked up Mjolnir.
Oh.
Like
iconic scene.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, God. It was one of those things where, like, if they don't put it in the movie, I'm going to be upset. And then they put it in the movie, and the shot, the everything about it was just perfect. Like that Cap fighting Thanos with Mjolnir and like the pickup
shield and hammer in hand.
Yeah, that was oh God, that moment gave me chills. Like, my entire, like, I had that like feeling of like, you know, when you're sick and you get kind of like the cold sweats, you know, like that overcame me. Like, I know it's kind of dumb, but like,
no,
oh geez, I love that.
What's the other moment though?
The moment right after that, because I guess it was still, I was still caught up in that emotional when Cap stands up with the broken shield and it's him versus the army. And then you hear the static and then you hear Sam come in with On Your Left, like that. I don't know why, but just
that's that emotional. That's a tearjerker. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I will say in that moment, I was like, I fully believed again where it's he's struggling and he tries to say the words, I could do this all day, but you could physically see he can't. And I was like, he's going to kill Cap here. And like in my head, I was like, no, they're going to, because it's like one, somebody's going to die. Maybe it is Chris Evans' character. Cap never fucking gets a happy ending. Are we going to see him die? And then that just relief as spot after spot.
Yeah, all the portals start opening up. Oh, God. It was...
The theater goes wild.
Yeah.
Each time.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. It's hard to say when a movie is perfect, but, like, the way they did everything, I just can't see them doing it another way and have me feeling the same emotion. Like, the On Your Left, when Spider-Man, like, reunites with Iron Man, he's going all this time, and then Tony just hugs him. He's like, oh, this is nice. Like, oh, jeez.
Sweet baby Spider-Man saved by, like, every woman. How did you feel about that?
Oh, one? I love that scene. That was great. I loved the setup, and two, I just loved it as a big fuck you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like that. That's where I was like, I was expecting people are going to complain about, like, oh, this is too social justice-y or so. I loved that sequence. Now, here's the controversial one. Thor.
Fat Thor.
I will say this. I really, really like Fat Thor. There's a lot of people who seem to hate Fat Thor and feel like he was played for laughs and for jokes.
I mean, he had one of the most, like, the strongest, him and Nebula, I think, had the strongest arcs over the course of these two movies.
I will say, actually, so for a friend of mine who has been catching up, we've been watching all of the old ones from, like, Avengers 2 onwards, actually. Mm-hmm. So, like, getting to see Ragnarok, getting to see the Infinity Gauntlet ones, and then this one, Thor really has changed from, like, Thor 2 and Thor 1 movies. And Fat Thor, so I will say this, very relatable as a character, because people are like, oh, he's played for laughs and he makes jokes and stuff. I thought Thor was really well done as a character who has depression and is struggling with it. And one of the ways people cope is they kind of play off the laughter when inside, like, they're still hurting.
Yeah.
And, like, you can see he's struggling through it and he's still fighting and he's still cheering on his friends and stuff. But he's not, by the end of the movie, like, 100% at all. And I was like, I like this character a lot. And the people who are like, oh, it's just for laughs. And it's like, haven't been in those shoes then, my friend.
No, that it was, I thought it was really well done. And I really like that they've set him up to be like a part of the Guardians of the Galaxy, because that'll be great. That he fits, everyone agrees that Thor Ragnarok was the best Thor movie. And he just fits better in like the space universe as opposed to like, the fish out of water sort of on Earth thing didn't really fit this particular character of Thor.
And it was also really well done in where he's also, just like the others, choosing to do something for himself. And so I liked like him giving up his, like, to Valkyrie, I believe, to like, you rule over Asgard.
Yeah.
I want to do this for me and just be my own person. And why? Again, he had reasons and stuff. He met his mom. He had this, like, he had a really strong arc.
Can I just say that I love that Thor the Dark World has now become essential viewing.
I was trying, like, to like avoid that movie to like explain to my friend, you don't need this movie to see the friend.
They took the worst movie and they made it an essential thing in the franchise.
That is Marvel all the way through and through. Yeah. Oh man. It was like the whole thing was a great like payoff, I thought. I don't think we'll ever see a movie come to like this sort of length of, it took 11 years of payoff and like, I don't know how many movies, like 15, 20 movies to get to this point.
I think it's 22 total, counting all of them.
Yeah. Like, because I was like, I want to own this movie. And that's why I was like, it's going to be really hard to show like somebody just this movie.
You know, the Infinity Collection is going to be coming where you can buy all 22 together.
I know. And unfortunately.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
It's like, damn it, I might get it. Just
I'm so torn because I own a lot of the movies on Blu-ray already. But on the other hand,
see, I don't have that guilt. I just have I'm buying 22 movies. Why?
But as you said yourself, they're all good movies.
See, I was like, oh, I can just watch them on Netflix. Or no, because they fucking like
Disney rotate. Plus, motherfucker.
Yeah. Oh, it was.
Yeah. Like, Endgame is only going to be available on Disney Plus. They've announced that it's going to only be streaming on their service. So you can't get it anywhere else.
Okay. The Infinity Collection.
I think so. Fag, I don't, how is Kevin Fag? Is that how you pronounce his name? Feige?
I don't know.
He said that this collection is going to be called the Infinity Saga, like from Iron Man to Endgame.
Is there another saga coming?
Well, so they've been kind of cagey. And I think, so it might actually be 23 movies. I think Far From Home is going to be considered part of this collection. I'm not entirely sure, though. So don't quote me on that. But because they do consider Far From Home part of Phase 3. That's okay. They've been kind of cagey as to whether or not they're going to do more big movies like the big meetups, or if they're going to focus on individual movies, or if they're even going to be phases anymore. They might just be more Marvel Cinematic Universe movies. But they did say they're going to start announcing officially what the movies are and give some of idea of the roadmap sometime this summer. So everyone's assuming Comic-Con. That seems like the best place for them, because it'll be after Far From Home is released. And
because I'm trying to think of like big storylines and stuff in comic books, like Infinity Gauntlets, Infinity Wars was a huge thing. Civil War is the next that comes to mind. They've done Civil War.
Well, so remember, they bought Fox. Disney bought Fox, which means now they have access to X-Men and Fantastic Four.
So the next team up that I really liked, Avengers versus X-Men.
I mean, it's entirely possible you can get something like that now.
I don't dare to dream. No, because that was good.
So there are two things I would like to see. First is, what is it? Secret Invasion. Like,
really?
It's one of the few comic book like stories that I've actually bought myself and actually really enjoy. And I don't know if they're going to be able to do this with the way they set up the Skrulls in Captain Marvel, but like, I love that story. And now that you have so many heroes that people are attached to, like the idea of some of them accident, like being Skrulls would be kind of neat. And so I'd love for them to set that up in some way. We'll see how that goes. If the Skrulls continue to just be good guys, I don't see it happening. I don't know, but I would really, really, really like to see a Doctor Doom, like a Marvel Doctor Doom done right. Like,
okay,
like the actual like smart, calculating, kind of like the Thanos behind the scenes, but on Earth sort of thing. Like, not necessarily the big global destruction, you know, like save the world. You don't want to repeat the Infinity Gauntlet story where it's, you know, but like that kind of like recurring villain over the course of like several movies. Doctor Doom is a great villain.
Okay. There's a villain I want to see. I think we may see him eventually. It's the missing one for me in like the Spider-Man franchise. I feel like it could be done really well. Kraven the Hunter?
Well, so, like, I like Kraven, but I mean, in terms of, like, he's not a Thanos. Like,
I just want a single, why, it's like a one-off. That's okay, why I don't have a lot of big picture lists now.
Like, that's my big picture of, like, Doctor Doom being, like a, the next, like, saga, if we're thinking in that sort of way.
Like, I think I've gotten, that's why, like, the Infinity Wars gave me so many different things in there.
Yeah, I don't think they can replicate it a second time, but I didn't think it was going to get this far when the first Iron Man ever came out. So, you know, what do I know?
11, and that's why I'm like, 11 years, I'm like, because I'm always like, oh man, we're getting older and stuff. But no, like, they can do another cycle in 11 years. And
I mean, that would put us into our mid-40s by the time the second cycle
ended. Not bad, because then I'm like, we could still do one more. Keep going. Trilogy of sagas.
Then we can start taking our kids to them.
Whoa, we didn't need to get this podcast into this, like, existential, like, whoa.
Okay, so we have talked a lot about Endgame.
We should let the other people who left come back and have some show.
Okay, so maybe we won't actually, we're going to keep going.
Oh, okay.
If we have a little extra whatever, it's a welcome back from vacation, so, I'm
like,
okay with it.
The spoilers will be basically like, come back next episode.
You know, what I meant by keep going is we're going to go into games and longer episode.
So, welcome back, guys.
Yeah. Sorry, I misinterpreted what you were saying. Okay, so the first thing I wanted to talk about is that PlayStation did a short state of play
today. Yes.
Like an hour before before our podcast.
My Twitter's been going wild.
Yeah.
Because they're all filled with medieval fans.
Oh, so you're a medieval person. So, yes, they announced the release date for Medieval.
Yes.
And showed some new footage. And apparently it's coming out October 25th.
Yay. Because I was like, I still, again, like, maybe I'm just following, like, fake accounts.
Nope. Okay. Medieval is coming out October 25th. There's new gameplay if you want to go watch it. No?
I'm good. I just needed to know that it exists. And yay, good on... I know a lot of, like, little Twitter people are, like, cheering them.
So, the thing that my Twitter feed was exclaiming over was not Medieval. It was, in fact, the little over a minute footage we got of the Final Fantasy VII remake.
Didn't they remake this already?
No. So, Final Fantasy VII, it came out in, I think, 97?
Yeah.
1997. There's been... Advent Children was a movie that came out that was a sequel, and then there've been like spin-offs and things like that, but Final Fantasy VII Remake has been one of the most requested kind of like reboots, similar to Resident Evil 2 that came out in January. Mm-hmm. And it's been weird because they announced it in 2015 and we haven't seen anything about it since. So this was a big deal. Like everyone was like, oh God, it's vaporware. Oh, they're never going to release it. And so they released a minute footage. They say there's going to be more information in June, which is E3. So we're expecting to get more concrete information about what's going on with everything.
How did it look?
I mean, it looks fantastic. The problem is that all the scenes we've seen so far have come from like the very beginning of the game. So like, and this is like, was like a 20 to 30 hour JRPG, you know, maybe even 40. Like this was a long game.
Okay.
And it was like, you know, it was three discs on the PlayStation back in the day. Like this was the game that got me to buy a PlayStation.
Wait, it's 40 hours in total?
Yeah.
Don't you play like 100-hour games now?
But I mean, this was in 97. This was okay. Like a 30 to 40 hour game in 97. That's like 30 to 40 hours is nothing for an open world action game nowadays. But like they're remaking this with high def graphics. Like they're remaking the system. It's going to be an action RPG-ish instead of like a turn-based one like it was in.
Oh, okay.
So like it's a rebuilt from the ground up. And we've only seen scenes from like the first like 30 minutes to an hour of the game in.
So people are worried that it's not complete.
Yeah, people. So the when they first talked about it, they weren't super clear. But the general idea, the thing they said was that it was going to be done in episodes. So like it would be a full game, but like they're going to break it up into multiple releases because there's a lot of content to get through.
And you'd have to buy each one separately.
Yeah. And so people are kind of like, so if it you know, they announced it in 2015. If the first episode is coming out in 2019 or 2020, is it going to be like 2030 before we see the conclusion? You know, like people are worried. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in June and how much game we're actually getting whenever this actually releases. A lot of people are also not worried, but like Final Fantasy 15 is done. We want a Final Fantasy 16, but the main team has kind of been working on this Final Fantasy 7 remake. Oh. So are we ever going to get a Final Fantasy 16? Like Square Enix has been in a kind of rut. Their games take a really long time to come out.
No one else does these games. It's always these guys. So.
I mean, yeah. Okay. Like Kingdom Hearts 3 came out after, you know, 12 years since Kingdom Hearts 2 or whatever. It just takes a while. They are worried about timing. They're worried they're going to be dead before, you know, they see their next game.
Fair points. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so it'll be interesting to see. It looks good. I'm really psyched about Final Fantasy VII. Like I said, it was the first game that made me get a non-Nintendo system. Like, it was what converted me to a PlayStation. I was all in on the N64. Then I went over to my neighbor's house and played, like, the first hour of Final Fantasy VII. I was like, I need to buy this.
That's a weird game to play, like, at a friend's house.
I mean, it was my neighbor. I could...
Yeah, I guess you keep going over it. Yeah. Because it's... Yeah. Like, it's not even competitive or multiplayer. It's just, okay.
I mean, I've played single-player games.
I've gone over and watched, like, you play games and stuff in college. That was different, though, I thought.
I mean, but, I mean, I was 12, and again, it was, like, my next-door neighbor. This wasn't, like...
That is college, basically.
Yeah, yeah. This was when you're a kid, you go over to the guy's house and play a game for hours. Like, I've switched back and forth controllers on GTA, every GTA, you know?
Oh. Okay, fair enough.
But, yeah, so I'm excited to see it. I wonder when they'll actually release it. Like, so I'm not like super jazzed, but we'll see what more information comes after this. This was just like a short teaser to be like, hey, this game exists.
Cause I was wondering, like, that's the only reason I knew about the thing for today was they might show Medieval. I didn't know what else they would be shown. So yeah, yes. The rest of Twitter. Okay. That's what they cared about.
Yeah. Let's see what else.
I have a question for you on how are you doing with playing Mortal Kombat?
Oh, so Mortal Kombat, I have a lot of thoughts on Mortal Kombat.
maybe a whole episode's worth?
No, not a whole episode's worth. I like Mortal Kombat a lot. The story mode is one of the best in fighting games. Like, I like the story.
Have you beaten it?
Yeah, I beat it.
Okay.
So, it's also really good, well done, in that there's a they actually have a decent fighting game tutorial that, like, actually teaches you fighting game stuff, like frame data. Wait, and, like, really? Combo. Yeah, like, a whole bunch. It's very thorough, gives you a whole lot of information. The problem is, when I get into actual fights, all that information just gets dumped. And it's like, block, block, attack, attack. Mortal Kombat has always had been hard for me to adjust, because Mortal Kombat's system is different than every other system in that you don't press back to block. Like every other fighting game, if you're holding back, you're automatically blocking if you get attacked by something. This one has a designated block button you have to hit. And so in every match I was playing in the computer, I would be holding back when like a projectile came at me, and I just walked backwards until it hit me. And I would be like, oh, I need to remember to block. And then I would just forget again. And my brain does not work well under like real time situations. Mm-hmm. It's why I'm not good at real time strategy. I'm not good at micromanagement. I get one track mind. And so I cannot be juggling, okay, if he's blocking and crouched, I need to use this overhead attack. But Sub-Zero's overhead attack is different from Scorpion's overhead attack, so I need to remember which combo to use for which character. You know, and so there's all this data that you juggle when you're playing a fighting game, when you're need to be good at a fighting game.
Like you have to, when people say they main, it's like that because they have to. There's a lot to know just about a single character, and then what is this character good and bad versus other characters. Let alone if you have multiple different characters. Like, it's a lot of variables, weirdly.
Yeah. And you have to know, like, each matchup. Like, this character's frame data. Like, their windups are slightly longer, so you can get away with these attacks. But against another character who has quicker windups, you can't do these combos.
And the tutorial tells you that stuff? Wow.
I mean, it doesn't go into full detail for each and every character. But it does give you the tools to like, all right, this is what you need to learn. And it does give you an individual tutorial for each character and like how to play them. And so it's pretty extensive and pretty good. But again, like my brain just dumps it as soon as I get into battle. The good news is the story mode is pretty easy to get through if you can master like basic combos and know general I think I lost maybe 3 battles against the computer total until I got to the final boss. Final boss is a piece of shit, but that's pretty standard for all fighting games. Like, they need to find a way to perfect that. Uh-huh. And I actually want to write about this. So this might be a blog post by the time this comes out. It might not be. It might be coming out shortly after. But, like, final bosses in fighting games are shit because they're just AI that can like read your inputs before you could, as you're putting them in. So like the AI will like block, know how to like block and everything, or like how to counter. And it never feels like
a fair fight.
Yeah. It doesn't feel fair. It doesn't feel like you've learned anything when you beat them. Like, it's not like other bosses in games or like Final Encounters, like is like a culmination of all the knowledge you've made. Like, I did not need a tutorial to beat the boss. The boss is you take exploit a certain weakness they have and just use the same combos over and over and like be super aggressive and don't let them attack. And like basically here's how what happened is I didn't win a single match against the final boss every single time I tried to play it the same way I had played every other fight up until that point in the story mode. I didn't win a single time. She just kept kicking my ass over and over again. And then I went online, spent 5 minutes looking up how to beat Final Boss, and every single one said, do this or do this, like use this, this, or this. I went back, I did exactly what they said, and she didn't, like, I had no trouble at all. I beat her immediately.
Okay.
And that is bullshit. Like, that should, if I have been able to win every single fight up until the final boss, and then those same tactics don't work, or like I have to like find a cheesy way to beat her.
It doesn't feel like a skilled victory, like you earned that victory. You
right, just exactly. Cheesed it. Yeah. Like it's terrible. And like there needs to be a way for them to, because fighting games are so skill based, like there has to be a way for them to make this a culmination of your skills. Like, I know fighting games are usually designed for like player versus player, and that's where all the tournaments come in and everything, but there has to be a way they can make AI fighting feel good as like a skill thing. Like, no one ever wants to fight computers in fighting games, but they need the, I don't know. Maybe I'm old man yelling at cloud because I like the story mode in these games and I don't play them to go into tournaments and like fight other people online or things like that. I don't know.
The only reason I also asked about that game, so like one weekend I was like, oh, I have a bit of spare time, looked on Yahoo and it's like, oh, you can watch the story, it's 3.5 hours long, and I was like, wow, it's like a movie, I'll watch it, it's a really good movie.
Yeah, I mean, my girlfriend actually was like, I like this.
Yeah,
like she was happy because the story happened and like me playing the game didn't get in the way of the story. It's not like open world games where you can spend like 5 hours running around collecting items before the next cutscene happens. It's like a quick blend, like you fight the people, once the fight's over, right back into story.
And it was weird because I was like, 3.5 hours, what is, and it's 3.5 hours of story, like, and it, for this one it just basically gets to a fight sequence and it's like cut. And then you resume and like the enemy falls over and I'm like, oh, a fight must have occurred. And then I continue watching the story and like, I'm like, because the fights are preset and everything is there. So I'm like, this would be interesting to play through because it feels like this is more story than it is fights. Did it feel that way?
Yeah. Yeah. It, yes.
I was okay with that, watching the story at least.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm fine with it too. I like it because you play as different people. Like, mm-hmm. It's not, you're not just Liu Kang for 50 matches or whatever, like it switches it up. And yeah, I wish it was longer. Like, I wish there was more characters that I got to play as. Like, I think in total I only played like about half the cast, because like
that's what I was wondering.
There's a lot of villains that you don't get to play as, so I only get to play as the quote-unquote hero characters.
They should have, like, if you unlock it, that might be the next thing, is like, oh, see the other side of the story or something.
Well, so like in the first one that did the story really well, Mortal Kombat 9, it was interesting because in, I think there was more chapters and it was slightly longer. I could be wrong though, but I'm pretty sure there was 12 chapters in Mortal Kombat 11. I think there was at least 16 in Mortal Kombat 9, but don't take my word for it. Anyway, yeah. In Mortal Kombat 9, you would sometimes have a chapter where you played as the villain. Like, and you just got the villain's viewpoint. And it's like, oh, the villain's winning this time because they're beating all the heroes. Mm-hmm. You know? And so this one, it was just focused on nothing but the heroes. And like, you only got to play as half the cast. And there were some people I wanted to play as on the other side. But, you know, it happens.
I will say, though, yeah, I hadn't watched any other, like, story. That's why I was like, this is just a good movie. I'm enjoying it for what it was. The plot points were good. The story was there. I was quietly impressed that I actually managed to watch all 3 hours of just, I'm watching cutscenes and that's it.
And I like how they ended it, because they ended this as like a kind of trilogy. Like Mortal Kombat 9, 10, 11 has like a definite ending. And now with whatever next Mortal Kombat they do, you watch the ending, right?
Yeah, I've seen
it. Yeah, like, it sets it up so that they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
With
the new world or whatever. Spoilers.
Yeah. I really like the ending of it. I thought it was a well done story.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite character to play is Jade and Sub-Zero are my two main characters. I really liked Kotal Kahn. I didn't play 10, so I didn't know who he was, but I got to play as him in the story. And so also I wanted to add, because we talked about Kotal Kahn and Shao Kahn before, and yeah, now you know
the plot points of who they are, and he was a general for the other guy.
And also that Kahn isn't their last name, it's a title.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I didn't know about that before.
I was just like, oh, they must be brothers or they're related. Yeah. Kahn. They're the Kahn family.
Yeah. So yeah, last thing I wanted to talk about before we end. I know it's getting a little long, but we wanted to give some content to people who skipped the giant endgame discussion. So I started playing Stardew Valley a couple days ago.
Had you played this before?
I'd played it for about like 30 minutes to an hour my girlfriend.
I mentioned to you, no, there's a good plot here that you wouldn't expect
like,
to see.
Yeah, so like we got a couple days into it when we were playing. She didn't like that she couldn't murder villagers.
Okay.
Anyway, maybe that's why she likes Mortal Kombat. I don't know. So I've started playing Stardew Valley. I just got to summer season, so I've played through the first spring.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice Zen game. I didn't think I would enjoy being a virtual farmer.
I wanted to hate this game so bad because I'm like, this is just Farmville. It's dumb and stuff. And then I started playing. I was like, I got to check on my crops. I got to do this stuff.
Yeah, I got to make sure I water. I got to go see if the chicken has gotten any food. No? Okay, I got to go buy some food, make sure my chicken's happy. Like, it's actually kind of fun.
It's peaceful. And there's things you can do. And it's there is a storyline, but you can certainly just sit there and farm if you wanted to ignore it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've been doing so far. Like, I've realized I'm a very antisocial farmer. Like, the game has been like, give gifts to villagers you like. And I'm just like, I go to the mine when I need ore. I've been farming. I cut down trees. I do my shopping. I'll talk to you if you come across my path. But I'm not like trying to romance anybody. Just like, gotta work on the farm.
I'm a fisherman person, so I just fish. I don't go into the mines at all, almost.
Oh, really? You're a fish guy?
I like the fishing for a while. Then I started to go in the mines, and I was like, okay, I see the appeal. And I was like, there's action and more adventure than just farming in this game.
Yeah, I like that there's like slight combat in the mines.
Mm-hmm.
I do like fishing, although sometimes the game gets, I get annoyed at it, but I think I just need to upgrade my rod. I think it'll be easier once you get better fishing equipment.
Like, what I've started to do is I don't farm as much. I'm a completist in the sense of, like, so if you go and get into the plot, they give you, like, little achievements to do. So then I'm like, okay, I guess I'll do this because they're variety enough that I'm like, this is a farming...
Like the bulletin board, you mean?
The bulletin board. Well, I think in the house. Have you met the aliens yet? Or the thing that doesn't belong...
The little dudes in the community center.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, like, the community center has, like, all these rooms and you can unlock
stuff. Oh, yeah. I've been going for that, too.
That's... So, like, that makes you explore all the different types of things you can do in the game. And so that's what I've been doing is, like... Because it's like, grow some summer seasonal fruits. Grow some, like, winter ones. And so I'm doing those specific tasks.
Yeah. I've been doing that, too. Basically, I've kind of been like, people, fuck off. I'm a farmer.
They're like, would you like to? Nope.
No, man. I've got like one person or two people I kind of like, and I'll occasionally talk to them. But in general, I was like, just leave me alone. Mm-hmm. I came here to farm and get away from all the other people.
Like, and that is the premise of the game is to get, like, that's why I like it. Like, you were a corporate person. And then you inherit a farm and you're just chilling.
It was really, I gotta be honest, it was really weird going to this after Mortal Kombat. It's like pulling guys' heads out of them, you know, off their bodies and like splitting people in half and then just going to farm some corn, green beans. You know, very nice, relaxing. I like it. It's a good game for when I want to play a game. But I don't want to, like, really play a game, you know, like...
That Zen, like, peaceful chilling out kind of thing.
Yeah, I find it very similar to Minecraft in that way.
I felt Minecraft was more intense, and this one felt more chill to me. Because in Minecraft, I always felt like I had to do things, or there were things I felt I needed to accomplish. Like, there was a sense of urgency and competition, but I think it's because you guys were in the same, like...
I mean, we were all kind of doing our own thing, though, like... Well, I mean, I can zone out in Minecraft and just, like, mine underground for, like, an hour and not even...
So that makes me feel really weird, though, when I would do that. Like, you just set up, like, a mining path and you literally for an hour, then you're like, what have I done with my life? And, like, well, I mined a whole bunch and got resources. But for, like, that got real existential for me.
Oh, okay. But you made, like, a villain layer. So that, I feel like that was productive.
So that's why I think I felt more pressure, because perhaps I played Minecraft differently than the rest of you guys, building like summer homes and nice villages and stuff. I was trying to build a Tower of Doom with like lava skulls and trapdoors and all sorts of stuff. And like, there was a portion then where unfortunately I released monsters and things went bad, but I had to like cover it up and pretend like my house is fine. And yeah, come and visit me and stuff. Just don't go into that room filled with skeletons. I built the water slot. Yeah, it was weird and fun. Yeah.
You know, we should really do that again.
It got existentially weird.
Well, maybe not Minecraft, but I do feel like we should get our friends together in like some sort of game that we play regularly. Like, I feel recently, like, this is going to go a little existential.
Okay.
But I feel like I haven't been hanging out with my friends as much as I would like to. And finding some sort of like common ground game where we can just like play for an hour and chat, even if it's like Civilization, mm-hmm. or, you know, something that doesn't require, like Minecraft, you can kind of be zen and have like conversations and be like, hey, how's it going?
Because we've been meeting up and playing like super intense, like 4X board games.
Yeah.
Which, fair, and I enjoy doing it and so forth. But I would like to, like, I agree with you, play something a little bit more casual with you guys.
Yeah, yeah. I'm putting that out there on the podcast. This is weird. But as a discussion, I kind of want to find some sort of game like that. If you know of one, something in similar like Minecraft or StarCraft, feel free to email us at makemeagamerpodcast@gmail.com. Did I just say StarCraft?
You did, but I was like...
I meant Stardew Valley.
Okay. Very Zerg Rush the villagers.
StarCraft, I don't think, is a Zed game what we can con, like, chat over.
Yeah, you're right, because I was like, we used to originally
I think Slim might consider it a Zen game.
Exactly.
Like, he's probably gotten it to the point where he can just make troops, like, with one hand and, like, not have to think too hard about it.
But yeah, put the, that's a good way. Like, get these people out there to, like, work for us. Like, send us good ideas for games to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's it. I think we have pretty good, good podcast. Yeah. Where can they find you, Harvey Z?
They can find me at TheZIsSilent on Twitter.
You can find me at TMANPlaysGames on Twitter. You can find our podcast at Make Me a Podcast. You can find my writings at TMANWrites.com. I've been kind of taking a hiatus, but I should be coming back relatively soon. And again, email us, makemeagamerpodcast@gmail.com. Game recommendations, comments, questions, things that you thought about Endgame, if you listen to that portion. Is there anything else? I don't think there's anything else.
Things on the agenda down the road. I guess if you guys want to suggest like bonus snap things for me to like make decisions between, you're welcome to like randomly send me things. I'll answer them.
Oh yeah. If that's something you want to send, or like if you want to get in on some community snaps,
suddenly I come in and there's like five things you must get rid of today. And it's like, oh,
all right. Well, that's it. Thank you for listening. We appreciate your content. Can you believe we've been doing this for over like half a year now?
So it's like 30 plus episodes. That's more than, yeah, like we're getting close to like 50, and that means
yeah, 30 is close to 50.
That's closer to 50 than zero.
Yeah, we might hit, I don't know if the time frame will hit 50 before the year anniversary, but we'll see.
When did we start doing this?
September.
Okay.
Or the first episode came out in September. First recording we did was in August, so it's a little weird, but
okay, I'm still catching up. I'm in the 20s. No, I'm in the teens, the middle to late teens. I just started January.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's it. Harvey Z, what do you got for us to take us out?
I'm not gonna sing for you. I was like, Papa Roach lyrics, it's not the way to go. We need a better, stronger, like, now I'm just like Truck Driving Simulator. I'm still angry about that one. Like, how dare you, sir? How dare you say that truck driving is less intense than plant growing? I don't have anything to really, like, end on there except for, like, you know who you are. I don't know where you live, but, like, if I see... I shouldn't threaten the one person who, like, emailed us. I'm sorry. It's cool over Bob. All is forgiven. But when I see you...
This was not what I meant. Jesus Christ.
He's like gonna threatening wait. The one person yeah. who actually like
emailed. It seems like you're gonna like leave a horse head in his bed or something.
If I knew where he lived, email me that. Tell me where you live.
What?
Give me what I want.
And I'll go away?
No, I'm not gonna bring it back to that. Like, Matreon?
No, what?
Like, pay me money and I won't leave a horse head in your bed.
Okay, so you didn't get that reference.
No, what reference?
It's the, oh, shoot. It was the only thing Stephen King has done. Like, he actually wrote a miniseries for TV. And it's like, it's not based on any of his books or anything. No, that was based on a book. I can't remember the name of it. But it's like these... It's Storm of the Century.
Oh, I wanted to... It's a play. Or it's like a weird... Yeah, okay, yeah. It's not a book. I know that.
Yeah, and it was like a miniseries. And the villain, something's always stuck with me. I saw this when I was like... I don't remember when it came out, but I was mm-hmm. younger-ish. And the villain says, "Give me what I want, and I'll go away." Like, he just keeps saying that to the villagers. And every time someone says, like, "Give me what I want," I can see the guy in my head, and I've seen that, like, it's, and no one else ever, I thought you were Stephen King person, might.
No, so I also made a reference with "Give me what I want," but I knew you wouldn't get it, which is, so it's a WWE recent promo from Dave Bautista, where he's doing his Hollywood stuff, but he comes back for WrestleMania and he wants a match. And like Triple H is the kind of the guy who runs things. And he's like, no. And so it is the weirdest promo where literally for like 10 lines, all Dave Bautista says is, "Give me what I want. Give me what I want." Over and over, like loudly screaming into the mic. And you can see his veins and stuff. And finally in the end, Triple H is like, "Fine, if you really want it that bad, you can have it." And it's like, what? That worked? He just said, "Give me what I want" a lot. What? And so it's become kind of this gaming meme of like, whenever like they're chatting about wrestlers and, oh, we want this storyline or stuff, someone puts that gif up of him just going, "Give me what I want. Give me what I want."
I recognize that because people posted that after James Gunn was announced as being rehired to do Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And everyone was like, Dave Bautista got what he wanted.
It's such a weird promo. And yet when you watch it, you're like, I believe this man. He wants something. Give him what he wants. Look, he's so angry.
Okay, so I guess that was the ending. How is that? We just like talked for another 5 minutes about Stephen King and Dave Bautista.
That's what you wanted. That's what you get.
Give me what I want. We gave you what you wanted.
No, we should have ended a while back. Now we're getting into a bad place.
This is bad. Abort.
Beep. I don't know. Like, how do you... I forgot how we end these things.
We don't.